Okay, I'm Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting back to order. We've had a 10-minute-ish recess, and Commissioner Van Beek is now armed and loaded with the prior documentation that was conveniently sitting outside of her office there. So just before we found out that you didn't have that, I was proposing that we just walk through to spur our conversation on and try to reach conclusion, what the findings, facts, and conclusion of law and order would be for the P&amp;Z, since they're only a recommending body. And sometimes their experience in public hearings might differ a little bit from our experience, and just see if this will spur any way to come to some kind of determination. It sounds like we're a little bit all over the board. From what I can tell on the hearing criteria for conditional rezone, most likely we agree that we're good with 1, 5, 6, 7, and 8 for the most part. I could be reading that wrong. You're welcome to disagree with that. But I think in essence we are okay with those. Where we're really stuck and stumbling is on 2, 3, and 4. And I think that these are difficult considerations because there's surrounding landowners that consider this part of their neighborhood, yet they don't own the ground. And so we have to consider these three items when considering the surrounding land uses. Is the proposed conditional rezone more appropriate than the current zoning designation? So what say you?
I appreciate the suggestion to go back and review the planning and zoning that was brought up during the testimony and those in opposition. And I agree with you on what it is that we're under consideration. So if we just look at what you've identified, the B or number 2, they've indicated that it's not more appropriate because at that time when this was heard, it says the subject parcel average lot size is 5.35 acres. And within the 13 approved subdivisions, the average lot size is 3.32. So they objected to the R1 designation and not necessarily a residential rural designation, which would be 2-acre lots. If I'm not mistaken, Mr. Voorhoeks had a proposal in the city of Middleton here while it predates you as a commissioner, but I think that those were 2-acre lots that would maintain a rural residential feel. I would have to, the public testimony is closed. That's my recollection. And then this was still, if we looked at the soils classification map, classified as prime farm ground, and so the surrounding land uses, the planning and zoning did not find that it was compatible at that time. And they basically agreed, but this is in Nampa's area of impact and the city of Nampa. That was another reason I would be interested, because you're the mayor of a city, if you had a plan for development, and you do, I know that you do, if there's a block for the city to eventually get there, then we're trying to evaluate how to align the visions between the city and the county so that one is not in direct conflict with the other. And we can only deal with what we have today, and I understand that the density could increase with the city of Nampa when they eventually get there, but maybe by the time they get there, those other things would be in place. We still have a yet-to-be-built fire station. That's hypothetical. That would serve that still under the entitlement, just like what we're doing here today. So even if we had something that was a recommended density, like from planning and zoning, that would be more of the transition and meet the definition in the comprehensive plan, then I still have, I guess, heartburn on introducing an R1 designation in a transition area in agriculture right now with things that we've talked about.
Okay. I would reluctantly have to agree with you that it's a reach to go from the 3.32 acres down to what is proposed. In saying that, I am frustrated for the area because sometimes the law of unaware consequences in your choice is going to be difficult. And I think the one presenter made a point that I wholeheartedly agree with. Everybody that's living out there, that has been living out there, is concerned about this density. And the problem is that it will become way more dense once the city encroaches and consumes them up. If this was allowed to go through, they would be able to keep the proposed density, even though for them today this is just abhorrent. They can't comprehend getting 29 houses stuck right out their back door. But if this land survives, or if it goes to 3.3 acres, or if it goes to 5-acre lots, they will have a significantly higher density once the city comes through. If this was allowed to happen and the 29 houses were put here, then what it shows historic-wise, unless it ends up being near a commercial zone, these lots will stay at this size. But if you deny this and they go back and they make bigger lots, those bigger lots will get subdivided multiple times. And what 29 lots seemed like too much in a decade or a decade and a half or two decades, there'll be 115 lots. I mean, the density just goes crazy. And I'm stuck between a rock and a hard part in the fact that as a commissioner and the rules that I have to set with, my conclusion about number two is that right now it's more appropriate to stay in agriculture, knowing that this is one of the better subdivision proposals that I've had in front of me. And you could get you could get people that are coming in for the dollar, and they don't care about you, and they don't care about Nampa. They care about the 115 lots, and they'll push it, and they will get it. So I'm stuck with what I ran for office. I'm stuck with my ethics. I'm stuck with knowing that I can't conclude that it's more appropriate today, but I would strongly advise all of these surrounding neighbors to go talk to this developer, and figure out what is appropriate, because you may get exactly what you want, and it isn't going to be that. It'll get flipped upside down on your head, and you'll have the 115 homes out there on that ground. And so I have to fall on that the request is not more appropriate today. Tomorrow, we will all wish that we could have.
Chairman, could I make, I'm just tossing this out there, but this is 43.95 acres. I don't know if there was a consideration on the part of the applicant to do the rural residential, which would have been fallen in line with the county comprehensive plan, that it's a transition area. There's as much documentation as Ms. Marstukek put on the record about what we've plowed through for this application. Having said that, the difference between 1.61 acres and 29 lots and 2 acres is almost 22 lots. There is information that Southwest District Health may not be able to approve something, a lot, because of the, there's lots on there that are 4.5 feet, which falls under the average depth for a septic. So I wish that a consideration would have been given to, if we increase the size by a little under half an acre, maybe that proposal could have met both needs. And I am going to echo your sentiment. It puts the board in a very awkward position. We are obligated to provide unbiased and fair evaluation of what's presented. And it's the criteria that we're given. We're also listening to what's in the area, and there's value, I agree, and I believe that Mr. Voorhoeks, I've referenced him a couple of times, but I have liked what he's brought to the board for approval. I think Mr. Clark makes some good points in his argument, but there's still the question of is it more appropriate today? So those are just ideas. I don't know.
Okay. So on 3, where are you at with that? See, in my thinking on 3, is the proposed conditional rezone compatible with surrounding land uses? It doesn't give us the criteria of, is that immediately adjacent?
Correct.
Is that within a mile radius? Is that within only 600 feet? LUPA has all of these different criteria for even noticing this land use application for public hearing. And to me, I would go down to some extent to that. LUPA, and correct me if I'm wrong, staff, but LUPA pretty much says 600 feet on this type of application. So the state recognizes that the surrounding area, we need to give them legal notification that we're going to be considering this application. It doesn't talk about a 2 mile radius. It doesn't talk about immediately adjacent property. So you get down into the weeds about what is surrounding land uses. The surrounding land uses is residential. There's some farmers that are left living there, but the super majority is agricultural. Is it's incidental to their property. They certainly couldn't make an income off of it. They couldn't. They'd really have a really good year if they even paid the insurance and the property taxes off of a agricultural endeavor. Some of them could. The majority of them won't be able to dedicate the time to it to be able to produce it. So the proposed conditional rezone compatible with surrounding land uses, well, 29 homes isn't compatible with Weekend Warrior Farms. These will be homes. They won't be hobby farms or whatever. I don't want to speak derogatory, because hobby farms sounds like you're all a bunch of amateur in what you're doing. That's demeaning. I don't like that term. I wish I could get a better term. but the surrounding land uses are not going to be like the 29 homes. They'll just be more of a higher end subdivision. Then you don't see ag going on in a high end subdivision. And it's typically against the CCNRs.
Mm-hmm.
That's.
Yeah, and Chairman, to your point.
What, Carl?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Ambeek, if I may jump in here really quick, one for a point of clarification, and then also just to reiterate a definition that we have for compatibility in Kenyon County ordinance.
Okay. All right.
So state code, I believe, for a rezone is 300. Our Kenyon County ordinance requires 600 feet, which is where that's coming from, just as a point of clarification. So compatibility, so land uses are compatible, and this is from 07, 02, 03 definitions enumerated. Land uses are compatible if A, they do not directly or indirectly interfere or conflict with or negatively impact one another, and B, they do not exclude or diminish one another's use of public and private services. A compatibility determination requires a site-specific analysis of potential interactions between uses and potential impacts of existing and proposed uses on one another. Ensuring compatibility may require mitigation from or conditions upon a proposed use to minimize interference and conflicts with existing uses. So this is some guidance that our ordinance has in the definitions on compatibility as may be considered as part of the criteria herein.
Was that helpful?
I think so. In looking at this, there's a number of factors, to your point, with the comments that you just made on the agricultural interface and hobby farms. I'm going to go back. CUNA has a very robust FFA program. I don't know. It's in the ordinance on how many cows and horses and chickens and whatever you can have, given so many square feet on your property or acreage. But it would be more palatable if we had the ability for people to do even FFA projects or host that. I wish that this application met the rural residential, because on the south, that's exactly what it is. It's very rural, and we're 2 miles. That if you're talking bringing services, it's not financially feasible. And we're wrestling with how to work with the cities. So it was an excellent idea to look at the planning and zoning. There were recommendations that were made in there that I believe the applicant could have brought back that would have helped mitigate the concerns on some of those parcels where the surface to basalt was identified as less than average for a septic system.
Okay, so do you find three? Our screen's gone. Do you find three is compatible with surrounding land uses or not?
I guess that would be not with the proposed acreage in there.
Okay.
And that really is highlighted, Chairman, if we get to the zones. So I'm going to look at the Kenyon County Ordinance 071025. The purpose of the RR Rural Residential Zone is to encourage and guide growth in areas where rural lifestyle may be determined to be suitable. Sorry, I have something in my throat. The purpose of the R1 Single Family Residential Zone is to promote and enhance predominantly single family living areas at a low density standard. So is this a rural lifestyle, or is it a predominantly single-family living area? And if we strictly look at the code, then I would have to say the purpose of this area, the right application is RR.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
I would be forced to be in agreement. Okay, so D, will the proposed conditional rezone negatively affect the character of the area? What measures could be implemented to mitigate the impacts?
So I think, yes, it would impact. There is going to be an impact because of everything that is potentially moving toward the direction of higher density residential. But what the Planning and Zoning Commission found was that the proposed efforts for mitigation did not overcome what they saw out there. So the mitigating factor in my mind would be to have the correct designation out there. Not the introduction of R1 will create the potential for more approved subdivisions. It will set a precedent in that area. South of there, there's at least a couple of Vogel Farms, Stewart Farms. There's something else out there to the east. So there, it comes down to how are we going to meet the newly enacted legislation? How are we going to do long-term planning for the county where there's consideration of city partners and services that can be provided? And one of the things that we're looking at is who can service the area. Well, right now, the area will, by default, be serviced by Canyon County Sheriff's Office. And maybe CUNA? I don't know. I don't have... that's the Ada County CUNA side is not what we deal with. No. We deal with the Canyon County CUNA side.
Yeah.
Okay. Chairman, I don't disagree with you that it is difficult to deny a request that has merit. It's also the job of this board to evaluate boots on the ground and what we've heard in testimony for evaluation.
Okay.
And I find that the planning and zoning did, I feel like they did their diligence and provided ways, even though there's other mitigations that have been proposed, they could have been an extra step that would have been, I think, the boot over the line.
Okay. All right. So again, I want to, this is my personal point of view. I'm frustrated with, I'm frustrated with having a really good, viable application. I heard what the neighbors said about their concerns with the septic. I think that the applicant went beyond showing how they would mitigate that and how they would be willing to legally set this development in a position that their septic systems would be far superior of all the ones that surrounded it. Put into today's standards, which are significantly different than just putting a tank in the ground, putting a drain field in. They're not even in the same ballpark. So my suggestion would be for larger lot size. My suggestion would be for getting the buy-in of the people in the surrounding, because I wouldn't like to be right, but it's pretty much inevitable. If you guys can't come to some kind of agreement out in your area about development on this big of a piece of ground, you're going to end up with a density that you would hate. So this is a fairly detailed application, and my hands are tied at this point, but if I could have people that would come in that were in the neighborhood that would support it, It would go a long ways to allow that. And my suggestion is to work with a developer like this for your neighborhood, because your neighborhood's going to not be your neighborhood any longer pretty soon. So soon is relative. I can't tell you what the date of that is, but I know how development goes, and you have the opportunity right now to do something good with the 46 acres, or you have the ability to say no, 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 no up to the last second, and then it triggers into the 115 lots. So my suggestion is to become neighbors, figure it out, and get to a compromise. Not everybody's going to have it just the way you want it. And just because it's this 46 acres out in front of your house or out behind your house, guess what? You didn't choose to buy it. You don't own it. The people that buy it, they get to choose to try to do what they want to with it. And this was a fairly good application, and the fact of the details that they've gone to. They've gone way, way beyond the average application. The next application, it's up in the air. We don't know who that'll be. So my suggestion is be neighbors and try to figure out something that you can compromise on and make a good rural area that works for everybody. So with that, for the findings that the P&Z had, plus some of the others that are enumerated, I'd make a motion that we deny this, that we instruct staff and legal to produce a findings of facts and conclusions of law and order and for us, and that we set another meeting to be undetermined today to meet again and then to approve the findings of facts and conclusions of law.
I second that motion, Chairman.
Legal or staff, do you have any input?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner Van Beek. Just as a point of clarification for the record and for those findings, as staff and legal work together to prepare them, would the commission please indicate, just to again reiterate for staff specifically, which conditions we're finding it does not meet and what the applicant could do to obtain approval?
Well, what the applicant can do is work with surrounding landowners to either make an amenable subdivision or at least be reconsidered in the 2 or above acre plan that the county has. And do you want anything else on that?
Well, we're trying to answer Carl's question specifically. So the proposed conditional rezone as an R1, I would say that one, it needs to be rural residential because this is still a rural area on the southern border. I understand that there's, but again, to your point, I don't have the details on what those rooftops represent. So we're going a little bit blind with that. But to make that fit with the county ordinance that I referenced, it would need to have a higher density, and that potentially would mitigate some of those septic concerns with the basalt, even though I hear that there's 18 test wells, but I don't, Chairman, sometimes I don't have the faith in an organization or an agency that would ensure, because we've heard different, that that's actual testimony. So an increased lot size would allow greater margin for a challenging area where there's individual septics proposed. And then number 3, conditional rezone is only half compatible. It's a yes and no question. Is it compatible? Well, to the north, yes. Is it compatible to the south? No. And I don't know how to answer that any differently. Also, I think until we figure out if the population, the voting base, will support emergency services in Canyon County. We're doing what we can to provide law enforcement, but that area of the county is a hike for patrol. There's 604 square miles, so it doesn't give us the criteria to that point. The response times are outside of standardized times. I cannot consciously vote for having somebody will die if there's an acute emergency, an acute crisis. That's what's going to happen. So I don't know how to mitigate that, maybe we could get more definite timelines. There's still a question. The entitlements have not been granted for a fire station to respond to that. So some of that's timing.
Okay. Was that helpful, Carl?
No.
I believe so.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, and just as a point of clarification, I believe the findings that the commission discussed during deliberation not being in the affirmative were finding number 2, 3, and 4.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yeah. We find 1, 5, 6, 7, and 8 that it's agreeable.
And Chairman, I guess I would disagree with you because I've argued in the context. That's also a yes and no. The education that will provide is valuable in terms of training and supports their career technical, their CTE program, but it is a drop in the bucket that this board will probably be involved in the messiness of trying to figure out how much of that is an appropriate share for development to pay. Is this the right amount? I don't know.
Pull off 8. That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so any other discussion? I have a motion that's been made and seconded. Seeing that there's none, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Thank you. Thanks for sticking with us through the whole thing. Appreciate it. So we will be adjourned. Thank you.